today on Marketabilities, we're going to talk about, I love this, success stories, inspiring tales of people who have just made it big despite some serious obstacles.
Yeah.
Because we can all be thrown off sometimes when we have to overcome obstacles, red tape, that type thing.
Well, and it's always nice to hear, like, well, it sounds bad, but it's always nice to hear that, like, there's people who have had it way worse than you.
Yeah.
And who have radically changed their life and their business. And so if like it really brings you encouragement to be like, if they were in that bad of a place, then I can do it too.
You know, and I've heard that repeated over the last several weeks where when something bad happens to you or something bad happens to a loved one, you can either allow that to completely infest who you are and take over your life and take more from your life, take more joy from your life. Or like you said, find that diamond in the rough or find that good that can come out of a bad situation. And man, that really resonated with me because life is short and we know it's short. And just sometimes, whether it's business or whatever, going for it and not wallowing in, you know, self-pity or what you've gone through, man, it can make a huge difference.
Have you heard the parable story, whatever it's called, of the alcoholic father with the two twin boys? You heard this before?
Give it to me.
You know, there's an alcoholic father. Their mother dies pretty early on, so it's just him raising them. And they're twin boys, right? They've literally been born at the same time, live the same childhood, everything.
Right.
One of them becomes drunk, just like his father, becomes the same exact person. Ooh. The other one becomes a very successful businessman, doesn't drink, you know, is very... you know, volunteers a lot, very big in his church, you know, doing all the things that he wants to do. And if you ask both of them, why'd you turn out that way? Well, look at who I had as a father and who raised me. They have the exact same answer.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And it just goes to show, you know, hard work and staying true to what is good and right and what you know deep down is right. That's usually a much more desirable path.
It is, but sometimes you have those old habits.
Oh, 100%.
And it's
hard to
shake.
You have to go down that road first before you find the right one.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to hit a tipping point.
Yeah. Well, I know one story that stands out for me, and I've attended a couple of, I don't know, conventions or whatever where they have these remarkable people in. They could be coaches, they're business owners, whatever, but they've done amazing things in their lives. And one of them for me is Ann Baylor, who is the founder of Auntie Ann's Pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they're so good.
Oh, I mean, and here's her story. So, you know, she started her business in Pennsylvania and she's from an Amish family, very humble beginnings. Well, she married when she was like 19 and they had a child. And I think the 19 month old is, I believe, her age at the time, ran behind an implement on the farm and she was killed.
Wow.
So that paired with her being molested by a minister at some point in her life. And she took all of that and she opened up that little stand, you know, where she started to serve the pretzels and the sauces. And I mean, it's a very limited menu, but man, it just took off. And, you know, she talks about how she has only used those tragic things in her life to fuel her mission and what she does. I think now, I mean, founded what, some 40 years ago, and I think there are like 1,200 locations now. And I think she sold out in the early 2000s, but they kept her on for obvious reasons. She kind of knows what she's doing. But now she just uses her time to go out and speak to people, and she's authored books. And I think some of the titles even used words like twists, you know, the twists of fate and things like that. But I know recently you also sat in, or you were able to listen to the founder of Hobby Lobby and some of his struggles.
Yes, I got to watch an interview with David Green, the owner of Hobby Lobby. Mm-hmm. And his story is very interesting because he didn't grow up in like necessarily a terrible family or anything like that. Like he grew up in a strong Christian family. Everybody was like a pastor or very well equipped in their church. And for the longest time he was told and he felt like he needed to become a pastor and start his own church and, you know, do all those things that the pastor does. Mm-hmm. But God kept steering him to start a business. And so luckily for everybody, including us, he abided and he was you know, listening to God and doing what he, what God was asking him to do. And so he started Hobby Lobby. And,
but closed on Sunday.
Yeah, closed on Sundays. Yeah. And in this whole time, even while Hobby Lobby, even when they hit like their first few million, and I think any of us, literally any of us would be so stoked to hit our first few million dollars in business. He wrestled with the fact that he wasn't doing the right thing.
Wow.
Because he had been ingrained his whole life, like, I should be a pastor. I should be running a church.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, you know, I don't know how many stores later that he was like, okay, this is the correct path.
Right.
And then the biggest thing about Hobby Lobby that I don't think people realize is they give away 50% of their profits.
I did not know that.
So to date, I think they've given away $1.6 billion since Hobby Lobby has been open. And it all goes to like Christian ministries, gospel, stuff like that.
That is awesome. It's so insane. See, at reunions, he can go back and say, well, here's what I'm doing. I am ministering, you know, through his money and money he would have made and making wonderful things happen. But I think that's a huge part of business sometimes that people overlook. You know, if you're handed something on a silver platter, okay, great, or whatever, or you got to have passion, you got to have heart, you got to have belief, and you got to stay the course. And it helps, you know, to be mentored by and to learn from people who have already made their way, you know. And I think we don't look at that often enough. You don't, what is it? You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
No.
There are people out there who it's called information or knowledge, a knowledge wealth or knowledge commodity. What is it? Knowledge based.
I'm not sure.
Knowledge based wealth. They're willing to, they'll just give it to you.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know who says it. There's somebody who really points it out and kind of makes you feel stupid about it. But he said, like, literally, there are people who have already made the same mistakes that you're making.
Yes.
And they've put it into a $12, $20 book
that
you can just go read anytime you want. So you don't have to make the same exact mistake.
Right, right.
It's all there for you. It always has been.
Yeah.
And that's really funny that like that's the case, but it's so true.
It is so true.
There's biographies about all these successful people.
Yes. And they had to spend a lot of money and they had to learn some hard lessons. Granted, they'll normally share with you people who perhaps poured into them or people that they sought out to learn from. But I'll never forget even starting a children's book and a children's character, Timmy the Tractor. And I remember going to these merchandise marts and talking to all of these people who had developed children's products and, you know, things for kids and that type thing. I mean, we discussed everything from liability policies, you know, to people who have written children's books that couldn't gain access to their own works, that publicists were holding their books hostage and, you know, just some pitfalls that you could avoid. And I know that I helped one guy. He was making little metal toys for kids. And it's interesting because I think he wound up being paired with, is it Schleck or whatever, those little animals? Yeah, it's huge. But anyway, he was paying a huge amount for these insurance policies that he didn't necessarily need. He just had somebody take advantage of him. We were able to trade stories. And man, what you learn from that is just, it's priceless, you know?
Yeah. Well, it really is. So speaking of books, and I don't even know if you know this about me. In high school, first of all, I was never good at school ever.
Like, didn't like
I was,
it.
I was good at math for whatever reason, but I was terrible at English, especially reading. Like, really, any of the reading sections, I actually failed a couple of classes in English.
And you're admitting that
in high school, and so I had to go to summer school, had to do all this stuff, and like even after all that, my grades were still never good. My parents literally paid to put me in Sylvan. So you remember those Sylvan learning centers?
That was I always wanted to go, but it was expensive.
I hated it. Like I didn't hate it because I like wasn't getting better. Like I was getting better, but I hated it because I needed it. And it was such a struggle. And I was so mad every time I went to that place because I felt like an idiot. It made me feel so stupid. Right. And then, and it definitely helped. Like I definitely got better at comprehension, but it wasn't until I was in college that I went to, this is very random. We'll get back to it, but I just moved to Phoenix and I went to a meeting where, you know, they try to get you to join their team. You know what I'm talking about? And it was very cool. Like I was very inspired by all the people there. And one of the things that he said that whenever he was speaking is he said, I radically changed my life because I started reading success books. And he listed out like 5 books. And so I was like, you know what? This guy's successful.
Did he also go to Sylvan?
No. Well, not that I know of. But I went and bought them. And listen, at that point in my life, I avoided books at all costs.
Yes.
If I had to read about it, I was mad. If I couldn't YouTube it, I was mad.
Right.
And I picked up.
See, I can't even relate to that.
Yeah. And I picked up these books, and the first book that I read, I got so inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And so ever since then, I bet you I read anywhere from 30 to 40 books a year.
Yeah.
On whether it's audio, success, mm-hmm. personal development, mm-hmm. the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so it's just crazy how you can radically completely flip something on your head that you're terrible at any time
yeah.
you want.
Yeah.
But it takes some work.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you this. I know a lot of people who spend a lot of time reading books like that, and they never put it into play, though. They never put it into action for themselves. So my encouragement to you is when you read these things and you are inspired, then put it into action for yourself.
Yeah. I've realized that I got stuck in that probably for about 5 years mm-hmm. where I was just reading because it made me feel good.
Right.
But I wasn't actually doing anything. And so the best thing you can do about reading a book is the thing that it tells you to do in that chapter, go do it before you keep reading it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll just forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something else that's happened, you know, and maybe this was always at the core of these super successful businesses. Don't be afraid to co-op or partner with or, you know, venture into something with someone else, because there's definitely strength in numbers.
Yeah.
You may find that down the road, okay, this is not necessarily a partnership that's going to work. And if it's not, you know, just remain amicable and there you go. You have your little split. But man, there is real strength in numbers, especially when you're trying to make things happen for yourself. And I just, you know, I think back at maybe this Auntie Anne's, and it's like started at what we see every weekend, everywhere USA, those little people in those little booths, you know, not little people, they're big people, they're great people.
Normal but just size people.
Normal sized people in these small places, and they're discovered. And that's what it takes, is if you want to be discovered and you want to be recognized for something, you first have to put yourself out there so people can discover you.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those things too with Auntie Anne's, like we don't really have a real mall where we live now.
Used to.
And so when we, you know, when we do go to a mall, me and Lena are always like, we have to get Auntie
Anne's.
Yes. And
that's
even if we don't need any more food,
like,
we just have to get it.
That was part of her business plan, is she knew she needed to, once she was discovered and had some success, you know, coming out of those farmers markets and things like that, she said, I just need to be where people are shopping. So the mall presence was a huge part of her success.
Oh man, because the foot traffic was mm-hmm. wild. It wasn't like it is now where you can get traffic anywhere at any time on the internet.
Right.
It's like, you need to get in front of people.
You have
and
to
the,
be
one of the best ways to get in front of people is a mall.
Dude, and that smell. I mean, smells. Come on now. I mean, it's an unfair advantage, but hey. I mean, and I'm a fan of both, you know, and I love Hobby Lobby and mm-hmm. his, you know, just who does he credit for his success, though? The buyers or just always doing the right thing? The Lord. The Lord, yes.
Come on, Angie.
But he has to have some wononderful buyers and some remarkable designers for their stores, because they turn those things. That's another big part of success in retail, is you're turning that business over constantly, you know?
So I learned at their headquarters, mm-hmm. they have a full Hobby Lobby store at their headquarters.
Just to change it up and see what would look
just
good.
Just to actually view it.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, okay, now we can roll out with this thing, because
that's
literally it's a whole store.
Gosh. Yeah. That's so cool.
It's so smart.
Put it into practice, no doubt. All right. Well, we're always open to hear success stories. So if you have one and you want to talk, let us know here on Marketability's podcast. It is a podcast for businesses, for established businesses, for entrepreneurs, people with ideas. I mean, like we said, you know, during the show, if you want to know something, we can find the people to ask, or perhaps we've gone through some of these things. So, you know, reach out for sure.
And if you want to create your next success story through your business, growing media marketing can help you with that.
That's a good tip. Yeah. I love that. All right. Until next time. We'll see you later.
See ya.